Our Bible reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. And if you're following it in the church Bibles, it's page 1028. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning again, everybody. A bit sleepy this morning. It's good to see you. I'm very excited about talking to you on this passage today. It is transforming, it is fun, and I want us to really get stuck into it. So why don't I ask our great God to help us be transformed by these two women. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for your word. We give you great thanks for the fellowship we have together. And we pray now that we will be honest with ourselves and with you as we examine our lives and our priorities. Amen. Well, two exciting things happened to me this week. Two things that were very exciting. For somebody who is developing and is well on the way to a full-blown caffeine addiction, finding a new cafe that is fantastic with brilliant food in walking distance from your house is an absolute winner. That's what happened to me this week. There's a new cafe on William Street, which is fantastic. And I now think that Adora finally has competition for my affection. I don't know if I'll go to Adora every time now. Yeah, it's a good place. But another exciting thing happened to me. I met two wonderful people in the cafe. Two fantastic people I met in this cafe, and we had a great time. We had a great time. They taught me heaps. They transformed my priorities, and it has been one of engaging, rebuke, considering, and needing to change as I met them and worked out my life. These two people I met in the cafe are, of course, who we are meeting today, who I want you to be introduced to or to meet again. Mary and Martha. These two women have much to teach us. Well, really, Jesus has something to teach us as he engages with them. They are two great friends of Jesus. It's a little passage. It's only a few verses, and it's like every word is dripping with meaning. And it's a great one for the ladies today because we are seeing two great women who have a loving relationship with Jesus. Now, they're sisters. And if you've got siblings, I'm sure that you've been frustrated by your siblings. Yes? Because you've been right all the time and your siblings have always been wrong? Yes? You're smiling, but I know what you're saying inside. Yes, that's right. You see, siblings, we're different. We're different to our brothers and sisters, and it's no different to Mary and Martha. It's no different at all. They function differently. They work differently. And this passage is so little, and we've just had it read. Let's read it again. It's a great little story. So open with me to chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." there is this great little story where Jesus goes and visits some friends. But where does this story and these friends fit in to the journey that we are on, to the story that we are looking in Luke? We started with Jesus setting out resolutely to the cross. He's decided it's now I am travelling to the cross. He is travelling to his death. He's on his way to save people from their sins. And as he's travelling with his disciples, as they're actually following him around the countryside, he is teaching them what it will actually mean to follow him once he dies and rises. As Christians, how do we live following him? This story is teaching us something about, as this whole section is. Actually, I think this one is the one that shapes all of the other things because it's about priorities. We've seen previously that there is a cost if you follow Jesus. We've seen that there's work to be done. The kingdom of God is near, needs to be told, and it's a serious business because the warnings for those who reject the kingdom of God was devastating. And of course, last week with the Good Samaritan and that expert who had a graceless, legalistic heart, we saw that following Jesus means we just love people who we come across. We don't worry about who, we just love anyone we come across. And then we come to this story. In the context of needing to love and to go out and do things, we come to these two sisters, and it seems that Martha thinks Mary isn't loving her. You can see Martha, if she heard this story of the Good Samaritan, see, Martha, why aren't you loving me? Why aren't you in the kitchen helping me? And how the story often goes, how sometimes it's often taught, is that we see Martha complains about Mary. She's not loving her. Jesus, she's not loving her. But then Jesus says to her, Mary, Martha, you have it wrong. Martha, you have it wrong. Mary is doing the better thing. And so the takeaway lesson for us is be less like Martha and more like Mary. But I think we should maybe delve further into the passage and see if we can take something a little bit further from this. Poor old Martha gets sidelined so much. Poor old Martha's the bad guy in this story. But does Martha have something good to share? We'll see that she had a pretty bad day. I suspect none of us have said some things like this to somebody of such importance. So what about these sisters then? Understanding this story, you understand the sisters. And it's clear they are friends of Jesus. Jesus had many people that flocked to him because they hated him, because they wanted to trap him, because they wanted to kill him, we find out, because, well, they intrigued, because they wanted to justify themselves, as we saw last week, and people who actually were following him as disciples. He had many followers. These were his close friends. They loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. It's more than likely, I think we could say, that in John chapter 11 and 12, when we come across Mary and Martha, who has a brother Lazarus, we're talking about these two. We see how much Jesus loves them and loved Lazarus and cared for them when he saw them weeping when Lazarus died. The sisters love Jesus. Martha calls him the Christ there, maybe doesn't get it, believes in the resurrection of the dead, and Jesus needs to explain to her, Martha, you don't understand it. Let me guide you here. Let me teach you here. As he does in this passage. Mary anointed Jesus with perfume and hair, Jesus' feet. That's interesting because where do we see Mary today? We see Mary at the Lord's feet. See, these two are brilliant women. And they both love him. Mary is different to Martha, though. They fight and they quarrel. I reckon if today we decided the theme after the service was to talk about lots of funny frustrations you've had with your siblings, we'd have a lot of good conversations. My brothers were always wrong. It's amazing. I had three brothers, and we were obsessed with playing games outside, and I thought it's very important that when you play a game, you need rules. And so I would outline the rules, and they wouldn't listen. So then when we play the game and they get the rules wrong, I'm the judge, I made the rules, they were wrong. I don't know how I'm going to say this tonight because I'll probably get heckled. But that's all right. We'll get to that one. The brothers, my brothers wouldn't listen, and I always thought I was right. Because I wanted rules, they just wanted to play. I needed to win, and to win, you needed to know exactly how you're going to win. Mary and Martha are different people. I wonder if you can think about how different you are to your siblings, to your husband and wife. When you have frustrations and things, that's not a bad thing, that's a family. Because we're different. We look at Mary and we see, well, she's probably more easygoing and relaxed and would much prefer to sit and listen and to, she thinks, well, no, there's something here that's more important, I will do that. And I'm not worried about all the things that have got to be done. Jesus is here, come over, Jesus. I'll talk with you now. See, Mary's the type of person that you're not worried about having to get from the next thing to the next thing, the list of doing things, because you're far more relaxed. People is first priority, it seems. And when Jesus is there, well, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? You'd hang with him. Martha, I'm sure there are many of you that can relate to Martha as well. Martha is hospitable and welcoming. I know there's many of you that are hospitable and welcoming. She welcomed Jesus into her home. There's no coals down the road. There's people probably coming with him. She couldn't pull out frozen chips out of the oven to give Jesus. Because it's Jesus, I've got to give him a great meal. And all these people come and she's just welcomed him. Welcomed them. But we see with Martha, she can't sit still. It's the type of person that's got things to do. She's on the move. She's got to go, go, go. She's distracted by all the preparations. Heaps of serving that she's got to do. Much things that she has because people are there. I imagine she's the type of person that has a to-do list. Are you a list person? And you can relax once the list is done. Is that you? I'm seeing smirks. I'm seeing nudges. And that means when you are in contact with a Mary type, you get very frustrated because they're just sitting down. Even if it is a good thing that they're doing, they're not getting the stuff done that's important to you. And you've got your stuff that you've got to get done. And it's frustrating. And it's very hard maybe for you to relax, to stop. Things aren't finished. I've got people coming over. I can't have the lounge room a little bit messy. I've got to be in the kitchen. I wonder if you're the type of person when you've got people over, you love having people over and welcoming people into your house, but do you think, I spend a lot of the time in the kitchen when people are over instead of being with them. Go, 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 do, 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 exhausted and frustrated, anxious and stressed is often what happens for those of us that are more like this. We know this about Martha because Jesus says that to her. Can you relate to Martha? Spend time with others once the list is done. Maybe a little bit bossy. You're always right. Maybe because you are right. Who do you relate to? See, the easy option is to say, I relate to Mary. See, I think, naturally, I'm a bit more of a Mary type than a Martha type. But saying that, and to all of those of you who think, yeah, I'm not that sort of do-do person, I think there's somebody who we don't meet here, and it's called the lazy Mary. The person, instead of maybe getting the priorities right, we like that way, but then we just end up vegging, sitting on the couch, not doing much. We relax, but we're not very profound. We need to think about, when we're like Mary, do we get it right like Mary? It's not the pious option if you're not the type of person who relates to Martha. We all need to get our priorities straight, I think we see in this passage. But let's get back to the story. Verse 38 and 39, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, or on the journey, he's heading to the cross, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home. That's a great thing, to open your home for somebody. It's a great thing to open your home to the Lord. How great is it to have the Lord want to come to your home and stay and hang with you? That's what happened. When Jesus got there and he's walked in and Martha's probably making a big fuss, Mary is just pumped that Jesus is there. So what's Mary do? Verse 39, the sister called Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. She just sat down and hung with him, listened to him, at his feet. Verse 40, we get back to Martha, and here it is. Martha is distracted by all the preparations. I love in another translation says there's much serving. Like, she's doing all this good stuff, but in the end, all this good stuff that she's doing is not really particularly needed. She's distracted by that. She's distracted because it's taking her away from something else, which we probably have already picked up, is very obvious. All the preparations that had to be made, it says. Jesus has come after all. I've got to give him a good fee. Why wouldn't I? People come over. We've got to make sure everything's fantastic. We've got to get our priorities right by getting everything done. Could you imagine if Jesus turned up to your house? How would you feel? Seriously, imagine it. If you're a Martha, you're probably thinking, oh, that'd be a bit stressful. If you're a Mary type, you might be thinking, great. He won't care what my place is like. He'll just want to hang with me. And then we get to, well, Martha's a great woman having a really bad day. Verse 40. After she's distracted by the preparation, she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, that's okay. But now it goes downhill. Lord, don't you care? Imagine that. Imagine saying to God, the Lord of all, the creator of all things, somebody who you love, somebody who's your friend, don't you care? It was a bad day. We know in the story, Jesus is heading to the cross. He's passing through their home to get to the cross where the ultimate example of somebody who cares is shown for all through his death and resurrection for us. And poor old Martha says, don't you care, because she's so caught up in the things that have to be done, her need to serve, when it didn't need to be that way. She says, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? I'm doing everything for you, Jesus. Not you for me. I'm doing everything for you, and my sister's not doing anything for you. I'm going to make everything great, and I'm stressed out, so I'm not going to get to you later because time's not cut in half because Mary's with you. Not a good option to tell Jesus you don't care when you consider him to be God, the Lord of all, the creator of the earth, who has given up everything. It's a bad day, and then it gets worse. She got pretty bossy. If there's ever an example of somebody being bossy, maybe it's this moment with these few little words. Tell her to help me. She just told Jesus what to do. Mums telling the kids what to do is a good thing. Mums nagging your kids, still a good thing. Mums telling Jesus what to do, not a good thing. Jesus is the Lord. Tell her to help me. Jesus is in front of her, and she's complaining because she's got all this stuff to do. She's on the go. This is a very bad day, and Jesus is going to guide her and change her attitude. Instruct her with a few simple words that I think you and I need to wrestle with, all of us, no matter our preferences in how we do things. Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. He's saying to her, Martha, I am here. You're freaking out and stressed out I've done many miracles. I'm the Lord of all. You could have just brought me one loaf of bread. I could have sorted it all out for you. You are worried and upset and stressed when you don't need to be. We can relate to that. You are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. There is one priority, Martha. Let me tell you. Let me tell you so that you can make this the priority of your life. Your sister here has it right this time, Martha. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. She's chosen what is better, Martha. You know, actually, she has chosen the better portion, is what we can say. She's chosen the better portion, which is kind of a brilliant, ironic way that Jesus is speaking here, because Martha's in the kitchen, no doubt providing Jesus with the best portion, the best steak, providing it for him, whereas Jesus is in the lounge room giving Martha a better portion. He feeds us. We don't feed him. Martha, Mary had priorities right on this day. You got all in the tears, stressed out. You were so rigid about what had to happen. Do you really think I care about what condition your house is in? Do you really think I care about what I eat? I don't even have a place to lay my head day by day, and I'm going to die. You need to stop. You need to stop being anxious. You need to stop stressing out about the things that are causing you into knots. You need to choose the better portion. And Mary did two things, we see. Mary did two things. She sat at Jesus' feet. What a privileged place to be. What a privileged place to be. Jesus wants her at her feet so he can teach her. A place where a teacher instructs his students. A place where somebody can find out what the teacher is going to say. A place where you can be refreshed. A place where you can listen, which is exactly the second thing that she did. She listened. The first thing is that she listened. She came to Jesus. She was with Jesus. See, the point is this. It's Mary first, then Martha. That is, it's a matter of priorities. Jesus is first, coming to him, sitting under his feet, hearing his word, being refreshed by him, and then we go and we do. Then we go and do the loving of the Good Samaritan story. Jesus first. Martha, Mary is sitting here with me. I'm not going to be here with you for long. I'm passing by, and then I'm going. The major aspect of real discipleship is choosing Jesus first. And there is no excuse, Jesus is saying to Martha, even if it's the way you do things, it's your makeup, it's the type of person you are, there's no excuse to let life and its demands get in the way. The worries of life should never prevent us from feasting on his word. He's not literally here in the room with us. But in some senses, even more profoundly, as we have the Word of God here revealing Jesus to us every time we open it. See, we need to sit at Jesus' feet and devour his teaching. There's no more important meal than that for us. That is the challenge. That is what we need to transform our lives in Jesus first, in how we live, not just in our head. See, the problem is we live in a Martha-like world, I reckon. In our Western society, in Australia, how much of it is run by you've just got to get stuff done? How many of you, even if you're not a Martha type, just feel the weight of there's so many things to do at church, at home, at kids, There's no time for anything. We work so many hours, and when we're not working, if we go on holidays, most of us take our phones, our laptops, and talk, and we never stop. We keep going. It's getting worse. See, the picture, though, way back in Genesis, was of Adam and Eve walking with God, being with him, and a bit of work. Sin comes, flips all that around, toil is the problem, and we're in a spiral of being just so messed up in having to do work, and we don't stop. Do you think that your priority should be spending time with God first, with rest, with God and each other? See, do you hope to get to the end of the week? Just survive. You get to the end of the week and you sort of just collapse, and then you sort of get yourself to Sunday because you know it's good, you love the Lord, you love God's people. So I think that's the other way around. Today, now, it's the start of the week. It's the start where we are refreshed, where we start with God first, with each other, being refreshed by Him, with His Word, so that we serve as we work throughout the week. God first. So we can serve. I wonder how you think about your week. Do you think about the most structured time, no doubt, if you're working, is your work, because you've got job description, you've got goals, you've got outcomes you've got to fulfill, you've got kids you've got to teach, you've got teeth you've got to pull, you've got all these things you've got to do. It's so structured. But the most important thing, the priority in our lives, Jesus says, Martha, Mary has got it right. We don't have time for thinking about, reflecting on. We don't think about how we can refresh ourselves in the evening. We just fall on the lounge. That's one of my problems. That's where I'm a bit of a lazy Mary when I'm just so exhausted. Do we actually think about, actually, no, I need to flip it around. I need to see that the first thing matters, so then I give that more importance, and that refreshes me to do the things that are so hard. This will always be a tension because we live in a world that's upside down until Jesus returns and we are dwelling with him forever, and then we'll truly see what matters. And so I want to spend a few minutes today. Really, I could stop here because really what I want more than anything from this talk today is for you to think, I need to reassess my life. And I want you to do that yourselves. I want you to do that with your spouses. I want you to do that with your friends. I want you to talk, think, go back to Bible studies and talk about it. Don't care if you do the questions this week. I want you to talk about Jesus first, Martha second. But let me give you some advice to help us recalibrate our lives. I don't want this to be, and it's a temptation for some of us, all we're really doing then is putting extra things on our to-do list, which isn't the point. And that's not the point. We need to be honest with ourselves and our family and the type of people we are. If we don't do that, we're always going to have difficulties and problems. I could share with you, when Marsh left, and near coming up at the end of last year, and just thinking about how am I going to manage everything, and I just thought, bang, let's go. And I was just trying to do everything. And gets to the point where it just wasn't possible to do everything and to keep everything going the way everything was, because it was just too hard, because there was too many things. It was more go, do, because there was heaps to do. All of it fantastic, desperately wanted to do it all. Instead, had to reevaluate, what are the priorities? Wish I learned that earlier. But what has been a great blessing to Steve and I is your willingness to be gracious and just get on with it, not stress out when we've made some compromises and changes, and just accept that things change. Our to-do lists don't always need to be done. I know I've done lots of things I haven't got to that some of you need me to do yet that I haven't done, and you have been gracious and helpful. That is how we're to interact with each other. Be honest with yourself. What distracts you from having first things first? What distracts you? Is it your lounge or your list? See, the principle to live by is that we don't need to get things done, but the one thing that matters is time with God. The second bit of advice I want for you is just to think about this story and realize Jesus wants to be with you. Maybe it's possible he just misses you when you're in the kitchen. See, the lengths that he went to to die for you, to take you out of your mess, to bring you into relationship with him, so that he, why did he do it? Because he wants to be in a relationship with you. And then we spend all our time not coming to him, spending time with him. He would miss us if he's going to go to such lengths to be in a relationship with us. He's grateful for our service. He wants us to serve him and he wants us to be with him. I wonder, you've had a spouse go away, a family member go away, a friend go away for a few weeks. Overseas, somewhere else, interstate. They've gone away for 5-6 weeks. They come back and you say, it's excellent, you're back. Look at this little list of chores I've got for you. And you say, when you get to that, I will say hello. Did you do that to George Cooler? No. Right? Absurd. You wouldn't do that. Jesus just misses us. Like we miss people that we love when they're not there. And when they come back, we really want to see them. It's heightened more how much we want to see them when we don't have them with us. He wants to be with us. Realize that. Thirdly, see how Jesus treats Mary. Martha. Martha. He wants to guide her. He wants to help her. He wants to instruct her to change her so that they can be together. He's loving. He's correcting. It's not the all too harsh words. It's not the brilliant way that Jesus can use his words to deal with the Pharisees and the people that are trying to trap him. It's the one of a brother who is our Lord, who cares and who wants us to get things right. He's not condemning Martha. Instead, he's saying, I love you, but my friend, you have got this really messed up. See Jesus this way for you when you get things wrong. He sees you like he sees Martha. He sees you as somebody who he's not condemning as one of his children. He sees you as somebody who he wants to correct. He wants you to follow him his way. See Jesus this way for you. Fourthly, maybe. Actually, no, we all do. I won't say maybe, I'll say we all do. We all need to apologise to people who we're in relationship with when we frustrate them because of things needing to be our way. We need to realise the times of our differences and say, I'm sorry that I've done that this way. I've clearly got it wrong. Like the other person should do the same. And I want to encourage you to talk about your lives with each other. Talk about how you cope with doing things, how you are this type of person. And so, you know, I'm particularly frustrating for you because I don't get lists done all the time, and so it's frustrating. Talk with each other about how that's hard. Being apologetic, saying I want to work on my priorities, let's do it together, will be transforming for us all. Friends, I think it's a day for being convinced about getting our priorities right. If we are followers of Jesus, this is what we want. Talk, pray, think, generate discussion, reflect on it in your own times. Come before Jesus this week in reflection and say, help me get my priorities right. Why isn't that the beginning of your prayers this week? Make that the beginning of your prayers this week. Help me get my priorities right, Lord. Brothers and sisters, don't leave Jesus in your lounge room while you are in the kitchen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that he is the Lord of all, the one who went to the cross because he so cared for us. We thank you that we see how it is to follow him. We thank you for these great women. We thank you for the lessons we see in their time with your Son. Father, help us get our priorities right. In your Son's mighty, powerful name. Amen.